Nations. Bam, bam. Ballin' out, ballin' out, ballin' out. Super! Hello and welcome back to Ballin' Out
Super!
It is really Sunday here.
Sunday as fuck. I'm on the floor.
I'm at church right now.
I have to host this thing. I'm already...
Jeremy's really punching the clock for this one. If it wasn't for the money, he would not be here.
Well...
All that zenny.
Hello, I'm Jeremy Hammond, joined as always by my co-host, Katie Rose Leon.
Oh, hey.
And Alex Patak.
Hi, just welcome to the podcast. Don't always have to say something funny. Sometimes it's just
you
hello.
Do always have nope. to say something funny. That's why we do that part.
I only do one take.
This is not a very free environment.
It's well, my house, Hannah. It's my goddamn house.
Speaking of the goddamn house and Hannah, it's our guest, Hannah Boone.
That's your goddamn guest, Hannah Boone. I want to see right now. I have something to say.
Cut this out.
Please.
Cut this out.
Say it.
I'm right now sitting on an exercise bike that is pressed up against double doors because Alex owns a cat so gigantic it will burst through the doors if we don't have him barricaded with this exercise bike.
He knows how to open doors like a velociraptor.
And you're like, you texted me, first of all, you texted me and you're like, I'm doing a podcast. Can you be here in 30 minutes? I was like, no. And then you're like, all right, wait, also, are you allergic to cats? No, but I might be allergic to whatever animal that is that you own. That is crazy.
It's pretty, I thought it was thoughtful. I remembered to ask you because everyone else has come over here have just been like, oh, good, you're not going to the hospital. That's great.
Well, Hannah, we like to start the show usually by talking to our guests a little bit about what your experience with Dragon Ball like is. Have you ever seen it before? Is this the first time you're watching it?
This is my first time.
Your first time watching it ever?
Mm-hmm.
Never seen it before. Did you know people who watched it when you were a kid?
I feel like, yeah. Well, all the boys that I liked would talk about it. And so I wished that I'd seen it, but like not badly enough to actually watch it.
So all the boys that you liked.
And the ones I didn't. All the boys.
All the boys,
all
yeah.
All the boys.
But so the boys that you, this is, how old are you at this point?
Oh, boys.
I want to say fifth grade.
You're in fifth grade. All the boys you like are watching Dragon Ball Z. Who are these boys?
Everyone's body's changing, becoming Super Saiyan.
Who are these boys? I mean, definitely peers. I'm not like, not like college guys.
Yeah, no, but I
they,
mean,
were men.
They were men.
I guess I just
want to
know
members.
Who are the boys? What are they like? What are they?
Oh, fucking
paint
gross.
Us a picture.
Fucking like 10-year-old, 11-year-old, like boys who haven't hit puberty yet and they're real small, but they're like angry and horny and they don't know why. You know, classic.
Yeah, of course.
Sounds a bit like Krillin. Am I right? It's a Dragon Ball podcast.
I was about to say, being like horny and angry and not knowing why is like a theme of this show and podcast.
Yeah, I was, when we were watching that, yeah, I was like, this has got to be written by a guy in like in at the youngest in his 50s who's been divorced and is like so horny he's angry at everybody.
Horny and angry is not directly the name of a Linkin Park song.
But it is spiritually the name of every Linkin Park
every Linkin Park song.
I'm trying to bring up a new metal reference every episode of this show.
I'm only bringing up Linkin Park every episode of the show. I want Mike Shinoda, come on the show. What are you hiding from? Fort Minor isn't getting back together.
Let's get back on track.
No.
No.
Yeah, I'm just going to lay down on this track.
Yeah, no, I was just kidding, gang.
This is a rough one.
I'm going to lay down on this track and wait for the train to come.
So, you didn't watch Dragon Ball Z. You knew you had crushes on boys who watched Dragon Ball Z. Do you remember, like, at that point in your life, like, do you remember, like, what you thought it was?
I assumed it was cool, because I wasn't cool, and the people making fun of me watched it. Uh-huh. I thought it was Pokemon.
Oh.
You know, listen.
There's so many burns hidden in the story.
I thought it was cool.
I'm a born artist, okay? I provide content. I don't soak it in.
Wait, and so what were you like in fifth grade? What was your...
Same as now. I think just real spaced out, really uninformed about what cool stuff was happening, and really, really bullied.
Hannah has been going to New York Comedians Wiffle Ball for over 20 years.
And so all these things are kind of pointing towards some sort of enjoyment of anime overall. Did you ever watch any anime?
No. What did I do?
This is so confusing.
I listened to R. Kelly a lot.
Oh,
R.
hell
Kelly.
Yeah. You know, my best friend was like really into R. Kelly when I was in this age group. So I was the anime kid, and then she was trying to get me to leave my shell. And then, you know, eventually she was right.
You know, the world of anime and comic books, pardon me if they're not related. I don't know. But
they are.
Okay. It's always been a foreign language. It's always been... Loved Archie comics. Could not get enough.
He loves Archie
Love
comics.
Love that shit.
Were you reading them in the barber shop?
Yes.
Where do you get Archie comics?
You get them at the grocery store.
Next to the TV guide. Yeah. By the... Oh, what's that thing called that you put your groceries on?
The cart?
Conveyor belt.
You can also get them in a pack of Bazooka Joe.
Yeah.
Unless that's just Bazooka Joe and he's artistically indistinguishable from Archie.
Yeah, no, it is exactly that.
Oh, I agreed with you, and I was a diehard fan.
It is just as good.
How diehard are we talking? Are you watching the Riverdale?
No, but I mean,
am watching Riverdale.
Is
and
it
if
good?
Anyone wants to start a Riverdale podcast with me, I have so many opinions.
Oh my god, did they make an Archie show?
It is a CW made a Archie TV show that is Archie meets like a sexy teen drama meets Twin Peaks. So it's like Archie Twin Peaks.
Yeah, gritty reboot.
I am very into it.
Isn't Zack and Cody in that?
Yeah, one of them is Jughead, and I didn't know that because I had a weird sex dream about it, and then it really upset me.
Yeah. Jughead's like a weirdly sexual character.
He's the one who's always eating burgers, right? Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know why they call him Jughead? Because the head of his penis is wide as a jug.
See, it always reminded me of like motorboating. I was like, you put your head in jugs. Like, I think that's it. I think it's the name.
He bleeds sexuality.
Actually, in the comics, he is Canon Ace.
Canon Ace? That's his name?
No, Ace, as in asexual.
Oh, I think you said like Canon hyphen Ace. Like, that was a character's name.
I want
like Canon Ace, like you spread it on a sandwich.
I'm Archie, and I'm Canon Ace.
It's during that weird arc where Archie goes to World War II. I'm a Canon Ace.
Like, clearly all this nerd stuff is stuff I'm very into, but I also love bullying nerds to take it too seriously, and I'm so psyched for how upset they're all gonna get at all the stuff that Hannah's gonna say on this episode.
Yeah,
I piss people off by just like chilling, man.
Yeah, I'm like genuinely
just saying words in that voice of yours.
That voice of mine. I did eat an edible at 2:30 in the morning last night. That's been a weird sort of day.
All right, and then. And then you got to dive into your first experience with Dragon Ball.
And while we're on that topic, Katie, why don't we get into this episode?
Okay. The title of this episode is Vegeta Becomes a Student? Win over Whis! I will say that when we read this title out loud, we all got psyched.
Well,
hell yeah.
I'd say we were initially bummed. Or I was initially bummed because I was like, they're really tipping their hand on this. You know, as far as we knew, Whis was gone, never to be seen again. And then the title says, Win Over Whis. And we're like, well, I guess he's back now.
Yeah.
I will say that it was mostly like riffing over the episode. So I didn't hear much, but I was like, that's fine. I like these jokes. And the minute that guy Whis got on screen, I was like, hold on, everybody. We have to watch this. Yeah. So I liked that guy.
That's commands your attention.
He does. I am jealous of him.
That's the same thing that happened when we had Jess Lane on.
Yeah.
She was like largely disinterested. And then Whis comes on the screen. She's like, who's that guy?
Yeah, he's gorgeous.
Where do you get that lip gloss?
yeah.
But like, where do you though?
Hit us up, Akira Toriyama.
Many destroyed worlds.
So it opens up on the two Supreme Kais, and one says to the other, "Nothing much is happening now," which seems like a real meta commentary
on the whole show.
Yeah, I'd really like to get that on our soundboard going forward.
I'd really like to use it in my stand up, like just between jokes, like, "Well, not much is happening."
Like
now.
A Staples button.
Yeah. young Kai is looking at old Kai, who seems to be having some sort of jism in his pants, and he's like, "What are you looking at?" And young Supreme Kai thinks he's thinking about fucking, but it turns out he's just looking at two horned beetles having a fight. How? Japanese.
Can I say the old guy, the old one, he is called Ancestor. And every time I've seen someone say Ancestor, which has only been in Mulan, it is with... It is with the utmost respect, and it was weird to be like, to hear him be like, "You're not a peeping Tom, Ancestor. Stop being horny, Ancestor." It was weird.
Oh. Well, Alex, you kind of called it while we were watching the episode too, in a weird way, because you said, his nose is going to start bleeding any second now, and that's how we should have known
that it wasn't, because when they're horny, their nose is bleeding.
Oh, is that real?
Not it like is in real life, in but... Dragon Ball.
But I mean,
or
in
if
Dragon
you have a
Ball.
Terrible disease,
it's like an anime trope that like when you're horny, your nose bleeds.
This is what
my
I
blood
this
is
world.
Red hot.
I don't understand this world.
Nor should you. They do it on that show.
No one
chewing
knows it's
gum
the world
too.
Of the Kais.
Do you remember that in the pilot of Chewing Gum?
Oh yeah, she does. Get
she
a
gets
nosebleed.
Nosebleeds whenever she's horny, and then they just abandon that right away. Episode 2, we don't see the nosebleed ever again.
Someone's getting a printout from a fax. Kids don't like it when you bleed because you're horny. Stop the machines.
But so Elder Kai's looking at the beetle. He thinks they're younger Supreme Kai. Who cares? Thinks they're fucking, but they're not. He's just like, "Oh, they were having a real humdinger of a fight."
The joke is on us there. And that's, that's how you know it's going to be a fun show.
Oh, yeah. And it continues to be fun because Ska starts to play and we open on sharecropping Goku.
Back to the farm.
We're back in the Dust Bowl, farming dirt.
And he's asleep at the wheel.
Yeah.
Just like this President Bush. Sorry. No, I'm not.
Not my president.
He's not my president.
He's not.
He's not. Yeah, you're right.
Some jag off.
We haven't mentioned 9/11 in a few podcasts. Should
That's
we get
true.
That out of the way?
Hey, guys. 9/11.
Never forget.
Don't
all right,
get it
back
out of
to the
Bush show. Savor that. Savor talking about 9/11.
What do you guys think? Bush did it?
Yeah, well...
I think he let it happen.
Where is... Let's give him a call. Let's talk to him.
What happened to Tower 7? Alex?
No one knows. Jeremy?
Katie?
It got wished away with the Dragon Balls.
A big party happened there, and everyone was happy.
And they partied so hard that it fell, despite having no damage.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm just glad we got this new guy in office. I really have a lot of hope for that.
Guys, I'm a bit uncomfortable with how irreverent our podcast is getting.
I think Goku crashed his tractor into Tower 7.
Back to Goku. All right.
Goku crashes his tractor into a tree, and then Krillin shows up in a shirt that says tacos.
Why did Krillin show up? Did anybody catch that, or were we all just
He showed
still...
up so he could be like, hey, Goku, hey. Why don't you punch me in the face?
Yeah, that was like... I don't know if it's because of how the episode started, but like everything seemed weirdly sexual to me.
Well, that's the whole
it
vibe
was
of the show.
A
he was
little.
Just like, yeah, punch me.
Punch me in the fucking face.
Yeah. And he did. He was like, it's gonna hurt. He was like, yeah, I want it to hurt. Like,
hit me, daddy.
And I still thought he was a child this whole time.
We have so much shared history.
You know, he shows up because he's like, why aren't you training to fight these aliens that might come kill us? And he's like, Chi-Chi won't let me, but Sans aren't really a job-having people.
Yeah, we're not really day job
people. He was such a dick. He was, like, asleep at the wheel, and he was like, oh, my God, I can't believe I have to do this fucking day job, and I can feel myself getting fucking weaker by the second, and, like, my days are not amazing anymore. And he was such, like, a, ugh.
I'm on Goku's side. I don't think he should be sharecropping. Who makes the money, Goku? You had $100 million yesterday. What the fuck happened?
Can I say, during that little segment where they like went back through their history together with Krillin and Goku and whatever, that combined with the whole like, Goku, I want you to hit me as hard as you can. I thought for sure we were going to go through that sequence, and then by the end of the episode, it was going to be revealed that Krillin was a figment of Goku's imagination. We go back through those sequences
again, and it's a Tyler Durden thing. That would make so much sense. Guys, we had to wish Krillin back.
Fan theory.
Oh, we can't. Yeah,
they got like just one of those fucking Chinese food supply stores where they get all like the Buddhas and the dragons and stuff to decorate Chinese food places. They're like, here, these crystal balls. We'll just get them, put them together. We'll wish your fucking friend back, I guess.
I'm so excited for the finale where Goku wakes up in the hospital.
and then he and Chi-Chi watch as all the world financial institutions explode.
And you're like, what? This is what you get when your dog is a president.
Oh, the dog is a president, Hannah. It's going to be a dog president.
It's a utopia. Okay.
Dog president, dog people everywhere.
So anyway, yeah, there's this kinky moment where Krillin's like, I'm so impressed by how strong you've gotten. Please punch me. And Goku's like, it's going to hurt. And he's like, I wanted to. And then he punches him in the face. He flies through some trees. It's real silly.
Trees, like, a house.
A date.
A date. He hits a rock. Oh, Goku is like, oh no, I punch Krillin, I'm going to catch Krillin. And then he warps comically next to Krillin, who hits a very hard rock and then slips into a coma. And then Goku, along the lines of like a drunk driving accident, has to carry him to the hospital.
Yeah.
I was just hearing like Taking Back Sunday's biggest beef songs playing in the background.
I believe you actually are thinking of Brand New.
Yeah, I was going to say Brand New is who had the car
brand
accident.
New
they both
the car
have
accident.
The car accidents in them. That's why it's such an epic rock beef.
Actually, the beef was over a girl, and I know this because I am from Long Island. So
and also
Jer-Bear.
Their name,
oh,
wasn't
I'm
it?
So sorry.
Yeah, Brand New was originally called Taking Back Sunday, or Taking Back Sunday was originally called Brand New. I can't
what,
remember
they're the
which
same
which.
Band?
No, they're
no, different bands. They had like shared members at some point. The point is they
best
both kind of blow.
Yeah.
But I'm from Long Island,
me.
So I can't say that.
Yeah, we'll like catch on fire
I'll
or some
edit
shit.
This out.
Yeah.
I've never
that's
been to
very
Long
funny.
Island.
They're
that
like,
is fine. That's just well, fine.
Let us cross that. The Sunrise Highway.
Yeah.
Be like, you're no longer welcomed in this Taco Bell.
You can only stay between the Northern and Southern State Highways. But what'll I do except go to the mall?
Anyway.
Shouts to Long Island. No one else will get these jokes.
Okay, so we cut Krillin getting his wounds tended to by Android 18, who is annoyed.
Yeah, she is so sad.
I'm peeved you punched my husband, retarded.
Is that the one with the blue hair?
No, the one with the yellow hair. Blonde hair. The one who you thought was the babysitter.
When she's not modeling, monotone. She is also
is she?
A
you are making up that she's hot because she's just, right? She's
Android
just
18?
Yeah.
No, she's a beautiful woman.
A beautiful
is
woman.
She?
She's got a big forehead, but
it's a lot of a body.
Pretty lovely.
She used to be a machine.
They all, I've noticed, no matter what the character is, if it's a female, rockin' bod, and then just like an old lady face if you want, but like real rockin' bod.
Well, the men too. I mean, except for maybe Ox King has like bear status.
Yeah.
I don't know, Hercule was looking pretty gangly in that last episode.
That's true. Hercule does look like he is suffering from some sort of
autoimmune disease.
But he represents the Western Imperial Demon, so he's the only one without
Wait, body. Is that the one? That's not Whis. Yeah. Who's the character you're talking about?
He didn't show up,
he
in,
didn't
this
show up in this episode,
he's
but
in
he does look
episodes.
Like he has AIDS, and it's very sad.
Mm.
Anyway.
That's also a look.
Shout out to Long Island.
That is a more accurate joke than you know.
Yeah, you really.
Oh, too much fun.
I didn't know AIDS was a big
deal.
Yeah, I thought we were all pretty calm about it. Yeah. I thought we could all just relax and relax about AIDS already.
Winter's over, snowflakes.
Anyway.
hit the Vegeta part yet?
Yes. Oh, but one thing real fast. Krillin admits in this sequence that he has given up martial arts. So we know for sure that he is...
fully cucked.
Fully cucked.
Absolute cuck.
Well done.
So we do get to Vegeta. He is standing on that plateau. He is screaming in the rain. He's very mad. He lights up a little bit. He throws some rocks. He makes a cute sculpture. He's real mad.
Okay, wait. So I had a question about training, and I will raise this to the room. So it is not uncommon for training to be featured as someone yelling in the rain while they're powering up.
Correct.
Can you train and increase your power level by just like essentially flexing, like Kegels? Does it work like Kegels?
Yeah. I think that's what he is. He's doing power Kegels.
He's doing power Kegels.
Yeah, like butt clenches.
To train?
Yeah.
He's working out.
Well, but he's not moving. He's just standing there like, ah!
Oh, when he was on the top of the mountain, was that him training?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
See, I've always pictured
He had just
it.
Seen a sad play.
I thought
he was plotting something.
I think it was meditating.
No, he
right?
was
because
screaming.
We see, Piccolo do that all the time, right? He's always like floating in a cross-legged stance.
That's meditating.
But Piccolo's chill as hell. He was like moving little rocks around, making little sculptures like you do.
Like the Blair Witch Project.
It's like the Blair Witch Project.
Like the Blair Witch Project. You'd know that there was a bad thing around if you opened your door and there were rocks.
If the rocks move. Rocks are a bad sign.
Whoever was animating... job to animate Vegeta this episode like fucked up. He looked fucked up.
Shit.
I liked it. It represented his emotional.
Who's Vegeta?
We're moving on. We're never gonna get through all of this.
Okay. I don't know what's funny, but I'm laughing because you're laughing. Katie, you should finish, saying this episode,
because
and I'll shut my mouth.
Can I tell you why it's so funny is because I have such an affinity for changing one letter in a word. It's one of my favorite ways to make something funnier, and you found the perfect letter to change in the name Vegeta.
I thought you were saying Vegina this whole time.
Vegina is so good.
And this is so clearly made by like an old horny dude. I was like, of course there's a Vegina.
Hannah has a cork board at home with a picture of Vegeta and a vagina and a string tied to them.
We are now only ever calling him Vegeta.
And then building sevens up top.
Yeah.
Okay. We cut to No Reservations. It's Whis and Bulma on a date. At a tempura bar. Bulma's older now. She has a sensible haircut, but she knows how to have fun. She's found a new gay best friend, and she is taking him out.
Pays much more attention to her than her deadbeat husband.
Speaking of the sexual,
always yelling on a mountain
vibe of this show, him sucking down that tempura shrimp was like,
yeah.
He deep throated it, he like almost came his pants. And that woman is the physical embodiment of a hard boiled egg.
Oh,
that was
richest woman in the world.
She good invented. For fucking her. I'd be a hard boiled egg person if I could be rich. I'm like only.
You're really lashing out right now, Hannah. Where is this coming from?
It was just all stewing. I've also been riding this bike, I'm all pumped up. From the Exerputic Therapeutic Fitness bike.
So we find out that Bulma's plan is to befriend Whis because she wants him to give her family immunity if the Beerus the Destroyer comes back to kill everyone. So she's been like taking him out on hella lunch dates. And
it's a good plan.
Doing Earth's culinary delights.
All right. Yes. What else happened?
So then... thank you. Oh, I want to die.
It's a rampage.
All right. So Bulma and Whis come home. Bulma comes home and Vegeta has come back from doing Kegels. He drinks some water out of a faucet very sexually. And then she is like, where have you been? Couples are supposed to communicate. And then she's like, you're filthy. And then we get a weird sexual pan of all his areas.
Oh, but I thought it was, I thought my impression of that scene was that was Whis looking at Vegeta and all his muscles and being like, ooh.
I thought it was his battle damage. They were like,
oh.
I guess that was You know, they talk about the male gaze a lot, but that was Whis's male gaze.
That's true. He was objectifying Vegeta.
You know, it's nice. It's nice to see the lens turn on the fucking embodiment of the patriarchy.
Vegeta
dad.
Is the embodiment of the patriarchy, by the way.
Yeah. It felt like the animator was like, people don't get how hard it worked on every muscle and like wanted us to.
He's got a good body. He's got a very good body.
Tight bod. It's from all the mountaintops screaming and sweating.
Yeah. Shout out to Long Island again.
Shout out. You know, some people would say this podcast has too many inside jokes, and I say, not enough. I say, I want this to be as unaccessible to the public as possible.
Yeah. I've never been. I'm just bashing your home down.
I just want to do that. One horny 17-year-old Long Island be like, this is for me.
Yeah.
So Vegeta gets real mad that Whis is there. He's like, why didn't you tell me you're hanging out with this tall drink of water? And they get in a little fight.
Oh, yeah. And she's like, oh, what are you, jealous? He's gay, dipshit.
That's what she said. The cartoon took a weird turn. Yeah. I mean, it got weird after all that. Then it got weird.
Bulma hopped back in her van with truck nuts and started doing donuts.
But it was such that scene, right? When like the bro-y boyfriend is like jealous that his girlfriend's
hanging
out
better
with the
than
gay
me?
Guy.
Wait, you but take she, him out for food?
But she fucking loved it. She was like, oh my God, you're jealous.
Yeah. Well, she never gets attention from him.
Yeah.
Well, she shouldn't have got that haircut. Hey.
No one is safe.
This is a
Vagina?
Vagina, my husband.
We're in a real boondoggle here.
So Vegeta goes to punch Whis in the back of the head because he's mad at him. While he's walking away.
He's going to fucking throw a brick in the back of his head like in that Sopranos episode.
But he can't because he has a magical force field, and that is when we learn that Whis was Beerus the Destroyer's teacher.
Whoa.
Does that mean he's more powerful? Bum. He's definitely more fashionable.
Which is more compelling.
Yeah.
So Vegeta goes into Prince Vegeta mode, and he bends a knee. He takes the knee. And he's like, please teach me your
like
ways.
Like a good prince.
Wait, Whis is the teacher of that cat?
That's
yeah,
right.
The evil cat.
He
guy.
Taught him how to
but
high
that's
five.
Who he'd protect everyone. Oh, he taught him and then the cat turned evil.
No. He's evil too. Whis is supposed to be a bad guy. We just
Whis
love him.
Whis is a bad guy.
Yeah.
That's fine. That makes him cooler.
Yeah, yeah. Right? He bad and he know he bad.
That's
yeah,
why,
no, he bad. Yeah.
That's why he never calls.
Makes me like him more.
Oh, yeah, you should be on for Boyfriend Watch. and then Whis is like, I can teach you these energy manipulation techniques if you promise to be a destroyer.
Energy manipulation technique sounds like it's a fucking pickup artist thing.
Whis is like mystery. He's peacocking, right? He acts aloof. He knows a lot of tricks. I don't know, man.
If you guys watch InfoWars, Alex Jones does sell pills for energy manipulation techniques.
This is, I think, around the time the cat jumped from the TV, so I forget why they
yeah,
go
my cat
into the...
Yeah, the cat moonwalked in front of the TV twice.
Yeah,
and
it was
I
much
videotaped
more compelling
it.
Than this episode.
I did videotape it. We could watch the clip behind the cat on
I just,
my videotape
I
on
know.
My phone.
The Instagram story expands.
Something happens, and then Vegeta decides he has to impress Whis through food.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's because he's trying to get Whis to train him.
Honestly,
food
though?
Is deaf a metaphor for sex all of a sudden also in this show.
Yeah, you made a really good observation, Hannah, where so Vegeta's like, you know, Whis's whole thing is he likes to eat amazing food, so he's trying to bring him to all the best restaurants, and he's like, I've already been here. And Vegeta's like, what about this place? He's like, I've already been here. It's definitely been like, this is where I fucked your wife here.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah. And you fucked here? And it's like, yeah, we did. And this is our place. You took him here? It was so... Oh, and everyone's sweating all the time.
Yo,
it's
you
crazy.
Think my girl showed you the world, but she ain't shown you that cup noodle.
Yeah.
She only do that for me.
But then she did show him cup. Or she was hiding the cup of noodles.
Cuck noodle.
Yeah, cuck noodle.
Oh, that should be our pin. Yeah, so basically, Vegeta brings Whis on a tour of all this amazing food, but he's already had it. And then he offers to cook, and he's just so strong. He can't. All the eggs are breaking.
Yeah.
And then Bulma.
Doesn't that seem like something like a guy you'd be on a date with? And be like, I'm too strong. I can't even. They crack when I hold them.
Hopefully not a guy I am on a date with, but that would be funny to see.
He keeps getting drinks at the bar, just breaking the glass in his hand. Just bleeding all over the place.
I hurt myself.
I was in Suicide Squad, the documentary.
I need the soft touch of a woman to calm me down.
We do get like one of my favorite like classic Vegeta misogyny lines where Bulma's like, oh, this sucks. And he's like, what would you know? All you cook is in a microwave.
She didn't react to that at all. She was just like, whatever. I fucking invented a microwave that becomes a pill, dummy.
Yo, my favorite back and forth this episode is when Bulma's owning Vegeta in front of Whis when they first get together. And there's a long pause and the camera looks at both of them. Vegeta's just like, shut up.
Oh, yeah.
It's like Dragon Ball IRL. It was really special.
Then Vegeta has a great idea. Like, you haven't had the one thing that Bulma eats all the time that is so special and delicious. She's been holding out. And Whis is like, what could it be now? And it was instant noodles.
Cup noodle.
Fuck yeah.
And he likes it so much. Oh, my God. This is so yummy.
Oh, yeah. And then while we were watching it, we were like, that's true. It is good. It is good to eat noodles.
Yeah.
From a
we're like, yeah, good. It's good as hell. Yeah.
You got that right.
A bunch of ramen. Broke, hungover comics. Yeah, just like, I can't wait to get that sodium in my sweet dying body.
Yeah, I'm literally going to go buy one right now.
Hell yeah.
I know. I just bought a bunch of Hot Pockets, but
ooh.
I can use some.
You spoil yourself.
I do.
Just give me pizza mouth.
Oh.
Pizza mouth was my name in college.
And then I guess they agreed to train him because we see Vegeta riding on Whis's back in the Rainbow Bridge or whatever the fuck that is, carrying a giant sack of ramen noodles. And then
they're going to train.
They get to the Upside Down Pyramid where Whis and Beerus live.
And they have that giant bathhouse.
So is he leaving his wife, Burma?
Oh, Jesus, Hannah.
What was that band?
Old Burma,
Mission to Burma,
yeah.
Wait, what's her name?
Bulma.
Oh, all right. All
You've
right.
been in the room with us this whole time.
Old Burma
like
and
not
Vegeta.
Penetrating. That's the thing with anime and stuff. It just doesn't, my brain won't,
not,
it won't.
Not penetrating like Vegeta's little dick. Am I right? Leave your man.
Vegeta's dick.
Burma and Vegeta sounds like a really aggressive lesbian couple. It gets like super competitive when you're just like trying to hang out and play board games.
We're moving to Seattle. We're getting 20 dogs.
We're pretty far over. I think we should rate the episode and get out of here, right?
Okay. All
right,
yeah.
Let's start with you, Katie. Out of 7 Dragon Balls.
I will give this 5 out of 7 Dragon Balls.
Solid.
Ooh, okay, Alex. So much like the last episode, I liked this one, but there were 0 beams. So due to my strict grading rubric, I'm going to give it 3 Dragon Balls again. Wow. Guys, I'm sorry. This was a great look into Goku and Krillin's abusive friendship and Vegeta's fragile romantic life. But where are the beams?
This rift with Whis is just going to push him further into the arms of the intern.
That's right.
Oh, you're right.
Oh, Vegeta has an intern he's fucking. I forgot about that.
Yeah. This is gonna be a thing.
It's the crossover with the movie White Girl. Very niche reference. Go watch it. It's on Netflix.
Hannah, out of 7 Dragon Balls, what do you give us?
Oh, well, I don't feel qualified.
Your enjoyment.
4.
All right.
That's how many people are in this room. One for each of us.
Nice. All right. 4 out of 7
nice.
Dragon Balls. I'm giving this one 2 out of 7. This
wow.
Very
scathing.
Like,
ooh.
This made
it felt like a waste. I don't think we really got much of anything out of this.
Oh.
We already knew
I
that
thought you were gonna
Whis
like
loves
this one.
Food.
I feel like you're about to quit comedy. It's a waste.
Right? Fucking.
I have a degree in communications sitting there.
From Gutcher College. All right, I think we should wrap this thing up. Hannah, where can people find you on the internet? What do you got going on?
Oh, okay. I have an EP on iTunes and Spotify called Mommy Daddy Baby Family. Also May 4th, 7:30 p.m. QED. Great show with a great comic, Gabe Smith. We got Luke Moniz, Dan Perlman, Dewey Lovett, and Julia Solomon. Should be really fun. 7:30 QED.
Fuck yeah. All right. Alex?
Do we love it? Yes, we do. Yep. okay. Just, fucking find my Twitter, nerds. Come at me.
Find it.
You find it.
Katie, what do you got?
Find me on Twitter at Katie Rose and on Instagram at Oh Hello Katie Rose.
Nice. You find me at Jeremy Thunder on Twitter, and you can come to the Hard Times show this Saturday at Ooh. Tender Trap, 8 o'clock. It's going to be real good.
I'll probably
come check it out. Albert Kirchner is going to record for his EP that he's putting out. All right, that's it for this week. We'll see you next week.
Super! We do this at the end of the show. Nope. No, it's almost two SNL voice. No reservations.
Kevin Nealon.
No reservations. Wow.